We will start this evening's prayer service with a prayer of thanksgiving and praise from Deacon Kevin Freeman.
Brother Braxton, let us pray. Oh Lord, our Father, our God, come to you right now, giving thanksgiving, dear Lord, for what you've done for us thus far, dear Lord, and what you're going to do, dear Lord. Father, we just thank you for allowing us to wake up this morning and just have breath in our bodies, dear Lord. Father, you're so good to us. There's so many things you do for us, dear Lord, that we just sometimes be slowful to thank you. Oh, Father, be with those who sick, those who going through hard times, dear Heavenly Father. But you'll work it out, Father. You always do. You know, I like to thank you for working and hearing my prayer about my job, dear Lord. Thank you for working that out. Dear Lord, I just thank you for our pastor, dear Lord, all the ministers, dear Heavenly Father, at First Baptist, all my church sisters and brothers, dear Lord. We love you, dear Lord. You're so good to us. Dear Lord, I thank you for my family. Father, you're such a good God. You sent your son down here to die for us that we may come to know you. Draw us more closer to thee, dear Lord. Help us to understand you more. Dear Lord, just be with those who over in the wars, dear Lord. Just work that out if it be thy will. Dear Lord, just continue just to wrap your loving arms around us. In your son name, Jesus Christ, I do pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for your prayer, Deacon Freeman. We will now have scriptures read by Sister Joan Cook.
Good evening. I will be reading from the Clear Word, Psalm 111. Praise the Lord with all my heart. I will thank the Lord. I will express my gratitude to him in the assembly of the people. How great are the things the Lord has done. Everyone who loves him marvels at how he does it all. And everything he does is glorious and honorable. His righteousness never ends. He is well known for his wonderful deeds. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. He satisfies the hunger of his people and never forgets what he has promised. He shows his power in behalf of his people by giving them the heritage he promised. In all he does, he is faithful and just. His commands are dependable and sure. His promises and commands are forever because they were given in all truth and honesty. He set his people free and made a covenant with them. His name alone is holy and reverent. For to fear and respect the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. He will give sound judgment to all who strive to obey him. Our praise for him shall never end. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Sister Cook, for that scripture. We will now have a prayer from Deacon Cecil Dryden.
Good evening, First Baptist Church family and friends. God bless you all. Heavenly Father, I come to you with open arms, first and foremost to tell you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you for so much you have done for us, continue to do. You even got us when we don't even know you are, you have. Father, thanks for putting a shield of protection around us, Father. Thanks for loving us in spite of ourselves. Thanks for all you do, like taking our health, strength, and giving us all kind of wisdom. Father, we just love you so much. We're on this line not because it was robbery, it's because we love you. We love you. We need you every day, Father. Your prayers and your praise and your honor and your glory is given to us because of you. Father, we just love you so much. Father, I just can't say enough about you and what you have done for my family. And I just want to say thank you, Father. Thank you for being with us through the times of sickness, of darkness, but you bring it to light. Father, thank you so much for putting your arms around us and continue to bless us all, because we need you, Father. These are times when we need you more and more each day. Father, I just want to thank you for just guiding us and continuing to put things in front of us that we don't even know we have yet, but we look for it because we trust you and have faith. Faith is the key to all of it, dear Lord. And I want to continue to have faith and let us all continue to love you and continue to let you guide us and continue to control our lives, Father. Because without you, we're nothing. With you, we can do all things to strengthen us. And I want to say thank you again, Father. In your blessed name, I do pray. Amen, amen, and amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. We will now have 2 minutes of closed mic prayer. This is your opportunity to pray to the Lord for yourself. That's 2 minutes. Praise the Lord. We will now have a musical selection, and the next voice will be that of our Associate Minister, Reverend Donald Robinson, who will give our inspirational moment.
People are slipping away. The economy's down. People can't get enough pay. As for me, all I can say is thank you, Lord, for all you've done for me. Folks without home, in the street, and the drug habit some say
Good evening, Christian friends. We thank God for another opportunity to gather together in his name at the prayer meeting hour. We certainly thank our pastor, the Reverend Dr. Frank D. Tucker, for an opportunity to say a word for the cause of kingdom building, and certainly we thank all of the coordinators and leaders and persons who have had input and continue to have input in the organizing of this prayer meeting experience. I won't be with you too long. I just want to share a few words of encouragement that we might put some thoughts on your heart and mind as we journey forth in this season of appreciation, gratitude, and thanksgiving. The scripture has already been read from the book of Ephesians, the 5th chapter, verses 15 through 20. I would like to read that scripture one more time, and I'd like to read from the King James Version. It reads a little stronger. And this is what it says. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 20. It reads as such. It says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise men, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore, be you not unwise, but be understanding. Understand the will of the Lord. And be not drunk with wine, wherein there is excess, but be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts, even to the Lord. But most importantly, always give thanks for all things unto God, who is the Father of us all. Give thanks to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit." We thank God for the reading and hearing of his holy word, and I want to take a few moments and talk with you from the subject, living a lifestyle of gratitude. Living a lifestyle of gratitude. A group of teenage boys were coming from basketball practice one day, and they were walking down the street just talking about the practice and how many points they made, how many shots they made, and that kind of thing. And they noticed a elderly man walking down the street, and he was walking in a very peculiar fashion. And the way that the man walked kind of stood out to the young men, and unfortunately, they were foolish, and they began to laugh at this man. This man had a disability, and he was walking with a cane. One of the young men that laughed the loudest, his name was Gregory, and unfortunately for him, his mother was nearby, and she heard him laughing. She was outraged. She admonished him, and she said, "Son, don't you ever laugh at this man or anyone else with a disability. Don't you know that that could be you?" She said, "If you really knew this man and you knew what he had done for you, you would not laugh at him, but you would thank him for his sacrifice." She said, "You see, about 15 years ago, when you were 4 years old, we were walking through the park and you saw a squirrel. And the squirrel darted out into the street and you broke away from my hands and you ran in the street chasing the squirrel. Well, what you didn't know that a car was coming. And the man, Mr. Johnson, he saw you chasing the squirrel. He saw the car coming and he darted after you to prevent the car from hitting you. And so he dove in the street, grabbed you, and rescued you from danger.
but he fell down in the street, and the car hit him, and he was crippled for life. Yes, Mr. Johnson sacrificed his life to protect and preserve your life. Therefore, you need to apologize to Mr. Johnson, and every time you see him, you need to express your gratitude, your thanks, and your appreciation for his bravery, his compassion, and his selflessness. So much so that if Mr. Johnson had not risked his life to preserve and protect your life, where would you be? Likewise, we know that our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, he gave his life. He risked his life on the cross. He gave his life as a ransom. He shed his blood for the remission of our sin. And because of his commitment, his sacrifice, in obedience to the will of God, we have salvation. We have redemption. We have grace. We have newness of life. We are heirs to God and joint heirs with Christ. We have eternal life. We are sons and daughters of God. And so we are grateful. And Paul reminds us, no matter what season it is, no matter what we're going through, in all things, give thanks. In other words, live a lifestyle of gratitude and thankfulness. When we look at the book of Ephesians chapter 5, we find that Paul is talking to some of the many young converts at Ephesus. Ephesus was a seaport town. It was a cosmopolitan town. It was a town bustling with energy and activity. It was a town like modern-day New York City. It was a time where there was a lot of trade, a lot of business being conducted, and there was a lot of money floating around. There was a lot of jobs being created. And so many of our believers in that era were being distracted because of all of the success and all of the opportunity that was being afforded them. And many of them became lost to the world. They left the church or weren't as active in the church because they got caught up in materialism and carnality and in the ways of the world. And so Paul had to admonish them. He had to talk to them to stay focused, to stay close to Jesus, to read their Bibles, to continue to fellowship and grow in the fear and admonition of the Lord. Paul also had to admonish them because they were divisive. They were causing strife because there were some young converts who were what we call messianic Christians. In other words, these were Jews. These were people who were formerly Jews who believed in Christ the Messiah. They were feuding and fussing and giving false information to some of the young Gentile Christians. In fact, they were imposing their will on them, saying to them, in order to be saved, in order to be authentic Christians, you need to be circumcised. You need to observe our Jewish holidays and holy days. And Paul was saying to them, that's not necessary. If you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ suffered, bled, and died, and on the third day rose from the grave, if you believe that, you have the gift of salvation, period. End of discussion. He also said to them, even though some of you have a Jewish background and some of you have a Gentile background, you need to be united. You need to be one in Christ. And so Paul said to them, no matter what your religious or theological differences are, you need to be united. And above all, you need to be thankful that Jesus Christ suffered, bled, and died and gave his life for you. In other words, Jesus says you ought to be thankful for salvation, and you ought to be thankful even for the trials, the tribulations, and the difficulty in life. In fact, Paul was trying to help them understand that if you're breathing, if you are alive, if you have good health, you ought to be thankful. He said, in all things, we must give thanks. And so Paul listed three areas where we can be thankful. And I want to talk about those three areas right now. In other words, the first area Paul lifted up, Paul said, Firstly, as we reflect on the past, let us thank God for what didn't happen to us. In other words, Paul is saying to us, let us not be distracted by comparing ourselves, who's an authentic Christian, who's not an authentic Christian, who's good, who's bad, who God loves the best. We ought not get distracted and focus on those issues. Those things are divisive. Paul is saying, be grateful that your name is written in the Lamb's book of life. Be grateful that you are alive. Be grateful that you are a child of God. And as you look over your life, as you look over your past, thank God for what didn't happen to you. In other words, if Paul were alive today, Paul would remind us, we've almost spent 3 years in COVID. Many of us have been very sick. Many of us have been healed. Many of us have had the injections, the vaccinations, and other medicines, and we have overcome. But there are others of us who have what they call long-term COVID. There are others of us who have had relatives and friends and colleagues and coworkers who have died. But the Lord didn't let that happen to us. He spared us. So Paul is saying, thank God for what didn't happen to you. In other words, there have been accidents, there have been collisions, there have been violence in our community, there have been shootings, there's been death. It happened down the street, around the corner, in another neighborhood, in a community. But it didn't happen specifically to us. And Paul is saying we ought to thank God for the difficulty, for the painful things, for the hateful, mean things that didn't visit our front door. In other words, Paul is saying we ought not take life and the blessings and the divine protection God gives us. We ought not take that for granted. We ought to give God thanks and praise for how he has divinely protected us and what he didn't allow to happen to us. But then secondly, Paul reminds us, as we reflect on the present, Paul reminds us that we ought to thank God for the resources and provisions we have today. In other words, God has blessed us today. God has given us good health and strength and grace today. God has given us caring family, caring friends. God has given us good jobs, good careers, good retirements today. There's some people that can't say that. There's some people who've grown up in dysfunction, who are still in dysfunction, who live in chaos and confusion, but that's not the case with God's people. And so if you are alive today, if you're standing today, if you're participating in this prayer meeting experience today, you ought to say, glory, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, for the resources and provisions that we have today because of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In other words, we ought to remind ourselves that this gift of life that we have today, this isn't something that is a mistake. It's not happenstance. It's not an accident. It's because God deliberately and intentionally wanted us to be alive to take advantage of these resources and provisions he has blessed us with today. So we ought to make a joyful noise. We ought to be grateful. And we ought to say, Lord, things are not perfect. Things are not as well as I anticipated and wanted, but I am grateful for all that I have today. For the hymn writer says, all that I have and ever hope to be, I owe it all to thee. To God be the glory for the great things he has done for us, that he has given us today. But thirdly and lastly, Paul says, as we reflect on the faith and hope of the future, we ought to even thank God for adversity and difficulty. Now, I know that some of you are saying, Reverend Robinson, how in the world can we thank God for adversity? How can we thank God for difficulty? Well, if you look at it this way, many of us pray to God and we say, Lord, give me a little bit more patience. Lord, give me a little bit more understanding. Lord, give me a little bit more wisdom. Lord, help me to be a better person. And we think that God is just going to magically take out his magic wand and just anoint us with patience and understanding and wisdom and compassion and mercy and grace for our fellow man. Well, he could do it like that if he wanted to, but more often what God does, he allows circumstances and situations and even trials and tribulations, and I would dare say adversity, he allows that to touch our lives, and through the struggle, through the difficulty, through the adversity, we grow. We mature. We grow because we are drawn closer to God. We read the Word. We study the Word. We better understand the Word, and then we apply it to our lives, and we develop patience and hope and endurance, and we have a sense of compassion and empathy for other people as we endure and as we go through adversity. It makes us better people. In other words, if you haven't gone through something, if you haven't experienced something, how will you know how good God can be? It's when we are in trials and tribulations and adversity, when we call on God and pray to God and he answers, and then we realize he is a Savior. He is a very present help in our time of trouble, in our time of difficulty, in our time of adversity. Yes, my brothers and sisters, God wants us to bless the Lord, to be thankful for all things, for the good things, the bad things, the difficult things, and even adversity, because it makes us better people. And so, just in case you think you're all by yourself, you're not. You're not the first one to learn and grow and mature as a result of adversity. Remember Job? Job experienced adversity. Job was minding his business, loving the Lord, being a great God-fearing person. And God and Satan had a conversation, and God said, "Mr. Satan, what have you been up to? What have you been doing?" And he said, "I've been going to and fro in the land looking for something to get into." And God said, "Well, have you seen, have you considered my faithful, humble, dedicated servant Job? He's a forthright man. He's a good man. He's a God-fearing man. He hates evil, but he loves good." And Satan retorted to God. He said, "Well, God, he probably is all of those wonderful things because you're so good to him. Every time I look around, you're blessing him over here. You're blessing him over there. You've given him a wonderful wife, children, land, property, gold, and riches. I'd be smiling. I'd be happy. I'd be faithful too." And so the devil said, "Lord, if you let me jack up his life, if you let me hurt him, if you let me bring conflict and adversity to his life, he'll curse you." And God said, "No, he won't. He loves me. And he's faithful, and he's obedient. Go ahead and do what you must do, Mr. Satan, but don't bother his soul." So, yes, Job was acquainted with adversity, and he came through. And Job testified, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him." In other words, he stayed committed, faithful, and obedient to God. But Job wasn't the only one that knew something about adversity. David knew something about adversity. As David was running from his wicked, evil son, Absalom, as he was running from envious, jealous Saul, of the great king who tried to kill him on many occasions or hurt him, David had to hide. He had to run. He had to duck. He had to endure adversity. And there was an occasion where David wrote in the Psalms, "Oh, if I had the wings of the dove, I'd fly away and be at rest." In other words, he wanted to disappear from all of the adversity, all of the challenges. But he stood with God. He prayed and asked God to lead him and guide him. And David started out as a lowly shepherd boy, a shepherd boy with a staff. God raised him up. God consecrated him and blessed him, and he laid down that shepherd's staff and picked up a king's scepter, and he became a wise man, a great man of God. because he endured, he matured, and he learned from adversity. So my brothers and sisters, in this season of thanksgiving, in this season of gratitude, in this season of appreciation, let us be grateful that we serve a great God, a mighty God that sits high yet looks low, and he still has the whole world in his hands, and we're not on the street. We do have warm homes. We do have loving friends, loving families to be with in this season of thanksgiving. So let us be grateful. Despite adversity, despite trials, despite tribulations, Paul said, in all things be thankful. And so as we take the words of wisdom from Paul, we commit ourselves to living a lifestyle of gratitude. Amen. Amen. And amen. God bless you, and happy early Thanksgiving. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, Reverend Robinson, for your message this evening. I will now open the lines for 20 seconds so that we can share our words of appreciation. 20 seconds.
Thank you also.
Thank you for that wisdom. Thank you for that wisdom. Just like Joe. Just like Joe. Thank you for that wisdom, my brother.
Thank you for the word. Thank you for the word. Awesome. Awesome.
$20.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I have two announcements for this evening that I will read at this time. The first is from Sister Dana Anderson. Okay. On Sunday, November 20th, we will celebrate the 46th anniversary of our pastor during the 10 o'clock worship service. The Reverend Dr. Mark McCleary, former pastor of the Liberty Seventh-day Adventist Church, will be the guest preacher. During the church meeting held October 22, 2022, Pastor announced he will be vacating his post on December 31, 2022. Therefore, he will be celebrating his last anniversary as our pastor on this Sunday. So, to those who can and will, the honor of your presence is requested at the pastoral anniversary celebration on this Sunday. Everyone knows that Pastor Tucker loves organ music. With that being said, the music ministry of First Baptist will present psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs from the organ console on this Sunday at 2 p.m. A pre-concert discussion moderated by the Reverend Dr. Dolores Carpenter, founder of the African Heritage Cultural Institute and general editor of the African American Heritage Hymnal, will begin at 1 p.m. Light refreshments will be served following the 10 a.m. worship service. The event is free and open to the public. Island parking on New Hampshire Avenue will be extended to 5 p.m. on that day. Temperature screening and wearing of masks is required. Thank you very much. That is from Sister Dana Anderson. We also have another message, and this is from Sister Barbara Mickens. Well, actually, I'll read it to you. Okay, Mrs. Rose Turner will celebrate her 90th birthday on Friday, December 2nd, 2022. She never forgets our birthdays. Her son would like us to send her a birthday card. He would love to receive 90 cards. Please send the birthday cards to Mrs. Rose Turner, care of Mr. Derek Turner, at 1005 Did Martin Drive. That's D-I-D-M-A-R-T-O-N Drive, Bowie, Maryland, 20721. This message will be read on Wednesday night prayer service and printed in the pastor's weekly letter as well. Thank you. We will now have our remarks from Pastor Tucker.
We surely thank God for the blessing that has been ours once again to share in this prayer experience. We certainly thank the Reverend Donald Robinson for that powerful, inspirational message. And we are just grateful for all that that the Holy Spirit has provided for us during this hour of prayer. We want to thank each participant in the prayer experience this evening. Your warm and heartfelt sharing and participation was a blessing to all of us. And then all of you who thought it not robbery to be a part of this prayer experience, to faithfully attend this hour, this time of prayer. We know that we have been enriched because so many of us have regularly participated in the prayer experience, and God has blessed us in a marvelous way as we have come together. We've been strengthened, even in the time when we have had difficulties in getting together and being together. God has blessed the church family to come together and be in prayer together in a mighty way. We thank God for all of those persons who have made this experience possible and who worked faithfully to ensure that the technology is made makes it possible for us to fellowship and to share together virtually. God is real good. We're looking forward to your being with us on Sunday. We just know that God is special, God is great, and God is good. And let us just rejoice in the Lord as we share together. I certainly am looking forward to the
the organ presentation that will take place, and all of those persons who will come afar and near and join us in making that a blessed afternoon and sharing time together. We also want to remind you to prepare for our Thanksgiving Day services that will take place on Thursday, the 24th of November. That experience will be virtual only, and we ask you to tune in to us and let us share together in that Thanksgiving Day service. We've been talking about giving God thanks and praise. Let's not forget to do that, because he is indeed a great and marvelous God. And then on the fourth Sunday, the 27th, we want you to make ready for our 159th anniversary of our church. What a blessing God has given this First Baptist Church. 159 years God has walked with us and blessed us. And we hope you are going to look forward to celebrating and sharing with us at that time as well. Let us continue to pray for our sick and shut-in members. Let us be mindful of them and be thoughtful in what you are doing. And if there is somebody that is deserving the request that her son has asked, Sister Rose Turner, she is a blessed spirit. And through the years, she has faithfully attended to so many of the members of our church through her own personal ministry and of sharing and sending cards. So if you can and will you please make that happen in for her 90th year. We're going to now open up the lines for 20 seconds that you may put your prayer request out. 20 seconds, your prayer request.
Thank you for my brother. Thank you for the service. Thank you for blessing my brother's life. I'm praying for my brother so he can be better in his surgery today and tomorrow. Please be with him, God. The only way you can. In Jesus' name, I do this.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
God, our Father, we come just now to ask thy blessings upon your servants who are here in this prayer experience. We ask, O God, that you would hear their cries, their pleas, their concerns for their relatives, their concerns for their friends, their concerns for the situations that have befallen them in their lives, and the trouble that they have experienced as they have journeyed here on this terrestrial shore. We ask, O God, that you would please deliver and comfort and bless as only you can do. And we ask now, O God, that you would help us in our time of despair, our time of hurt and our time of pain. You know all about us, O God. Sometimes we are bewildered. Sometimes we are disturbed. Sometimes we are distressed by the circumstances in this life, in this world. And we need some help, Lord. We find ourselves bewildered and confused and doubtful and in fear. And Lord, we ask that you would bless as only you can do. Bless us in those times of trouble. In times of sickness, O God, there are those who are on the line even tonight who are sick. Deliver them, O God, and heal them, O God. Sometimes our minds are disturbed, confused, bewildered. And, O Lord, we need your guidance, help, and release. And sometimes, O God, we are just weak. Weak in our ways, weak in our thoughts, weak in our bodies. We're just weak, God. And we need your strength to help us and to keep us from all the hurt and harm and danger that befalls us when we are weak. And then, Lord, some of us are in a state of loneliness. Oh God, draw nigh unto your people. Draw nigh unto us, oh God, because we realize that we need you. We know that we can't manage the circumstances in our lives and the troubles that we find ourselves in. And so, God, be with us. We need you each and every day, every hour we need you. Now, God, we want to say thank you. We want to say thank you, God, for keeping us in spite of ourselves, in spite of our circumstance, in spite of, oh, God, we want to say thank you. We are grateful for all that you have done and all that comes our way. We are grateful because we have discovered afresh that even adversity, even trial, even trouble can be a blessing to us because it enables us to know how good you are and how much you can bring us through. And so, God, we just say thank you for being real good to us. Thank you for bringing us a little peace of mind. Thank you for being able to draw real close to you and sense your presence, your power, your tenderness, your love. We just said thank you, God, for being God all by yourself and enabling us to be empowered by your divine spirit and grace. Thank you, God, for keeping us. You didn't have to do it. You didn't have to bless us. You didn't have to sustain us, but you have done it, and you continue to bless and keep us. So in the blessed name of Jesus the Christ, we ask these many blessings and so many more we stand in need of. Abide with us, and now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and be gracious unto you and grant unto you his holy and divine peace. And the people of God said, amen, amen, and amen.
Amen. This concludes our Wednesday night prayer service. We pray that you are mindful of all of the announcements that were made. And if you have any questions, you can refer to Reverend Tucker's weekly letter. You can call the church office. You can reach out to your circle leader. And you can even reach out to me or Cynthia Tinsley, Dana Anderson, or Sister Barbara Mickens, as we did share that other information with you, and I do have the address if you need it for the birthday cards. Please consider joining us for our very special Sunday to celebrate Reverend Tucker, and we pray that you have a wonderful week, and we hope to see you again on next Wednesday. Thank you very much, and you have a blessed week.